की, श्री वृंदावन धाम की, श्री मायापुर धाम की, गंगा माई के, जमुना माई के, भक्ति देवी के, तुलसी देवी के, समवेता भक्त वृंद की, नैनीताल गौर All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We have Sahota Maharaj is feeling a little ill this morning, but he will be running his class this evening, you know, at the regular time. So this morning, then we'll then go through the book. So now we're on the 13th chapter, and we've just gotten a new writ. So Adhyaya Prakash, the chapter summary. Vidura returns to Hastinapura after learning the science of the self from Maitreya Muni. Maharaj Yudhishthira questions Vidura about his travels, and Vidura, after replying, stays in Hastinapura for some time. While in Hastinapura, Vidura preaches to Dhritarashtra, his elder brother, to give up his material attachments. Vidura pushes Dhritarashtra to immediately leave home and pursue self-realization. Dhritarashtra finally leaves along with his chaste wife, Gandhari, and Vidura. When their absence is detected by Yudhishthira, he inquires from Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra's servant, about Dhritarashtra's whereabouts. Narada Muni appears and Yudhishthira questions the sage. Narada instructs Yudhishthira about the true situation of the living entity in this world. Narada advises Yudhishthira to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who has descended upon the earth. Before Narada departs, he explains that Dhritarashtra, after going to the Ganges, will voluntarily give up his body through the performance of mystic yoga. Shloka Anusharana, so the essence given in the shlokas. So 1-6. Now Suta Goswami draws the attention of Shaunaka Rishi and the sages to the movements of the saintly Vidura on his pilgrimage to the holy places, where great sages gather for satsang. Nivesha, 1P means first purport. Purport to the first verse relates the story of Vidura's life in brief. He is going on pilgrimage after being ejected by Duryodhana from the Kaurava household, will serve as a key role in Canto 3. Okay, Vidura's heart and mind were now reservoirs of an ocean of transcendental knowledge he had humbly received from Maitreya Rishi. Returning at last to Hastinapura, capital of the victorious Pancha Pandavas, he was joyfully received by the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, Kripi, and many others who hurried to meet him, Nivesh. In the purports to the third and fourth verse, Srila Prabhupada relates at some length the life stories of Gandhari, Prita, Kunti, Draupadi, and Subhadra, great Vaishnavas all. Their delight upon seeing this pure-hearted devotee of the Lord was so great, it appeared as if they had regained their consciousness after a long period. While offering obeisances or embracing Vidura according to their relationship, everyone shed tears of affection due to relief from the anxiety of a long separation. Okay. We see here is that two things. Is that Vidura, now having gained knowledge, then he goes to share that. So that's an important thing. Otherwise, one can gain knowledge, but if one is only using it for itself, that's not so important. Otherwise, it's like this. If one is very simple, one doesn't need so much knowledge. That will be easy to gain. You keep that to yourself. Okay. But if you make a great endeavor to gain knowledge, it means intelligence is one of your conditioned natures. Right? So that means You won't be fully engaged unless you're using that intelligence in Krishna's service. So after gaining knowledge, then you would want to teach that knowledge. Does that make sense? Like that. One could also say, but this principle of preaching is important for everyone, regardless whether they're an intellectual or not. Which one could say is true. Because then, even the person has less academic inclination, but still, being a person, he has his what is important to him, his values, his identity, his activities. So then, by engaging in practical activities, then that will give realization that should be shared. So the main emphasis is on sharing the realization. The other one is on the knowledge, though by sharing that knowledge and practicing it, realization also will come. Right? So one is through having a less body of technical knowledge, by practice of that, one has realization. The other, by greater volume of technical knowledge, then and practicing that, then has realization. That's the same. The difference will be, one is through teaching that knowledge, that is their practical application, because then they have to understand it and teach it to others, so they must understand what is the essence so they can give it to the student. Right? Well, the other, they're taking more just the essence already, because they're not able to accommodate the technicalities, that they're applying in their life through some other aspect of devotional service. You know, through their management, or through business and family, and whatever service they're doing, puja, or like this. Does that make sense? And then, through that, they will get realization. Then that's shared. So in any case, preaching will go on. But the field in which is the main service, then that may be different in the beginning. So one is academic to gain the knowledge, one is academic in practicing that knowledge, and through that academics comes to the realization, and then they preach. Right? But in the meantime, they're studying and teaching. Right? The other will study less, do practical service, but then when they get the realization, they'll preach. So that's why for us, everybody can become a preacher. Because everybody is practicing whatever knowledge they understand. Does that make sense? Right. So that's why for us in this Daiva Varnashram system, then seemingly some traditions are broken, that those who are not Brahmins will take sannyas, or this doesn't matter, because they will have gained the realization to be preached through another medium. So maybe what they say will be practical, it will work, may not be so technical, but it doesn't matter. The point is that it works. Does that make sense? Well, the other systems, only the Brahminical class would take sannyas, because only they deal with the knowledge that they could work on that platform of detachment and other things. Does that make sense? But for the Vaishnavas, the devotional process automatically gives knowledge and detachment. Is that okay? Yeah. And the other point would be that we see that the Pandavas have won an unrivaled kingdom, right? Sovereignty over the whole earth. They're not happy without the association of the devotees. Does that make sense? So the essence is, whatever you have, whatever it is you desire, if it can't be shared with devotees, it doesn't really have any taste or use. The mind thinks, oh, I want this, but even you get it, it won't have really any taste. The moment you get it, it'll be some happiness, that newness of it, using, but as, with time, it'll be seen that without the devotees, it doesn't have any meaning. Is that okay? Any quick questions on this or something? Or any points? Or anything? No? Okay. Okay, next section, verses 7 to 11. Vidura was sumptuously fed and permitted sufficient rest. Then Maharaj Yudhisthira seated him comfortably and reminisced. My dear uncle, do you remember how your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Nivesha. Purport to the 8th verse details the calamities Yudhisthira only hints at. While traveling to holy places of pilgrimage, how did you maintain yourself? Devotees like your good self are truly holy places personified. because you always carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. Wherever you travel, become sanctified. You must have visited Dwarka, and so please tell us how the members of the Yadu dynasty are faring. So we see no matter, one is very dear person, this and that, but still when they come, the first thing you do is look after them. It's a very important element of hosting. Someone comes, it's just an easy thing, then you just take care of what's needed then. But if it's a long journey, they're tired, that is what is seen first. Right? Does this make sense? It's not what you're going to get. Just like, you know, the sannyasi rolls in from flying halfway across the planet, drives from the airport straight into the temple, then he's expected to do a whole big kirtan class, do a whole thing, do darshans and all that. No one thinks that he's tired, needs to take a bath, needs to eat. No. Right? You do that, and then, unless they agree, but whatever it is, you do, then you, then, at a comfortable time, when they're relaxed, everyone, then you can sit, discuss, do everything. Otherwise, they're just thinking, you know, do this quickly so I can go take a bath and eat something, or take rest. And everyone's thinking, oh, the nectar. So, does that make some sense? So here he's come from a long way, so the first thing, even though he's so dear, there's some little pleasantries, then he's given facility to take rest. Then they come and sit down quietly and talk. Because otherwise, if they're not relaxed, how you'll interact anyway? And then because they don't interact nice, and you think, oh, they don't care anymore. And because they don't care anymore, then a relationship breaks down. And then after, either they don't get rest, or after they do, then everybody in the house is all bent out of shape. Right? Sound typical? Okay, so this is why. They come, the guest, you take care of the guest, what he needs. Then it works. Then you'll get what you need out of it. In other words, by performing your duties, you'll get what you need out of it. So by taking care of the guest, you will get what you need from that interaction with the guest. But if you try to get what you need from the guest, then neither the guest or you will be satisfied, because it is a relationship. Okay. Then Vidura, despite the situation, based on proper justice, he was partial. Right? So it's not problem to be partial. It's based on the proper principles. Partiality that's against the religious principles, that is self-centered, that's a different thing. But here, partiality where, you know, this is the correct thing, then that's not wrong. Because in the bigger picture, these are the devotees. Duryodhana is the non-devotee, so naturally they're favored. Right? Krishna is also partial like that. He's not partial, but he takes care of how people surrender. So in a sense, the devotees appreciate devotees, therefore devotees take care of devotees. Right? We don't want to take care of devotees, means that's because we don't appreciate devotees. Unfortunately, the modern thing is presented we care so much, but no one's taking care. So you can understand, therefore, there's no respect for devotees. Does that make sense? They talk respect, but by the anuman and the pratyaksha, you can tell there isn't any. Like that. Okay. And then he makes the point that the devotee, great devotees, because of their devotion, their realization, therefore wherever they go, they are places of pilgrimage. So where they go, then that place becomes like a place of pilgrimage. Does that make sense? So that's the importance. So they gain that knowledge, then they go, and wherever they go, that goes with them like a holy place. So then having their association is as good as or better than the holy place. Because the holy place, you get slightly purified, but by hearing instruction, that's what actually you're going to perfect your spiritual life with is through instruction. Does that make sense? So they're bringing out this point here. Any questions on that? Or points? Yes.
Do we have to understand respect from the scriptures? It's not just an abstract thing.
Or do we have to understand respect from the scriptures? Meaning, I mean, how to show respect or how? Basically, I mean, you have respect. There's a natural thing of respect, meaning you know, all cultures have something of those who are senior, those who are equal, those who are junior. But even so, generally we tend to take if they're senior, that's respect, and if they're junior, it's not respect. But the person as an individual and their worth has to be respected and their needs has to be respected. Like the child is respected in that they are a child, they act like a child, they have the needs of the child, so they're taken care of as a child. So that's a respect. It's not that the parents are there offering obeisances to the two-year-old baby because, you know, they have to respect all living entities. No, not like that. That's not the relationship. The relationship's based on respect. If you don't appreciate something about them, then how you'll take care. So they respect their cuteness, their innocence, their, helplessness. You know what I'm saying? So then it's taken care of. So respect means you acknowledge and appreciate. Right? Then the form of that, if they're senior, then you have one way. If they're equal, is one way. If they're junior, is another way. But if that appreciation means all relationships are based on Shanta Rasa, if that's not there, there is no other rasa. No one should kid themselves. If there's no respect, you do not have servitorship, friendship, parental or conjugal. Right? If a husband and wife don't respect each other, that they appreciate their qualities, they don't have a conjugal relationship. They don't have. Like that. Sex is another thing. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody rapes a girl, you can call it sex, but you wouldn't call it conjugal. You understand? Conjugal is a mood, it's a rasa. So if there's no respect, it's not there. If the parents and the children don't respect, it's not parental rasa. If friends don't respect, it's not friendship. They may get together and laugh, but that's hasya rasa. You understand? It's a sub rasa, it's not the real rasa. Does that make sense? So that's the mistake most people make who don't follow the Vedic principle. This is no respect. That's the one thing you'll find in those who follow the Vedic. They respect each other. The husband and the wife and the family, they respect each other. That's why it works. That's why it's different. You wonder why Hindus in good families, their relationship is so different. Because they respect each other. That's it. You just add that, everything works. Does that make sense? So if that respect is there, then the other things will come. Then from there, then these external rules give you some direction. So that you know, because you may not know, okay, what does it mean, a relationship with a senior? So then it gives how to do that. But if that respect is there, then it will be natural. It will be alive. Otherwise, if it's not there, you'll go through the form of it. At least the form of it's better than no form. But if it's alive, that's better. Okay? Any questions?
You said hasya rasa, what
hasya? Hasya means laughter. Friends get together and just laugh and joke. Okay.
Question, I was in Europe this summer and I was staying in one temple and there was guest came to sannyasi and then there is like a standard understanding of how sannyasi should behave in the temple, that, you know, there is a premadvani, then the sannyasi should say premadvani, then there is the kirtan, and he's there, then he should lead the kirtan. And, you know, he should be the upfront man always. So then the Maharaj came and he wasn't doing all those things. He was just kind of, you know, staying aside, and he, you know, premadvani was there, then he's there looking and say, oh, why are you looking at me? There's nobody else here who knows how to say it. And then the devotees were a little bit confused, so what would be the way of explaining or dealing with this kind of situation?
Okay. It's a good question, but it's not on this chapter. You know what I'm saying? That'll come up later. I mean, it's related, but just basically you have to see the mood, because the person there may not know what the scene is. He doesn't know how things work there. You go to a new temple. In the temple, they always chant after Mangalartik. They chant the prayers of the six Goswamis or this or that. So because they do it every day, the thing is there, and then the sannyasi comes. They think, so he should lead it. He doesn't know it. So his thing is they're going on. Who generally leads, if they want to do that, who generally leads, they'll do. Because he does it, he may do it in his own way and differently. So some don't care about that, couldn't care less. They do it in their own way, and devotees appreciate it. It's different. Or sometimes they get bent out of shape because it was different, but he doesn't care. That's the way it does it. It works. Prabhupada gave it like that. It works. Some don't want to do that. They want to see what's going on in the temple. Don't want to do. So therefore, you must be doing it every day while you're looking at them. You know, and then once they understand how it works, then they do. You know, because you go to take darshan, some of them after the darshan greeting Govindam, then they sing a song. Some of them start Guru Puja immediately. Some of them go take Charanamrita. Every temple is different. You go to every temple is different. So if it's the first time you've been there, then many times you want to just watch so you know what's going on. Right? But if you're a regular there, then that's another thing. Then it would be known, you know, I'm here just to see you guys are doing things properly. Then you do it. Then it's known. But if it's that means they don't know him, he doesn't know the place. So that's their idea what he should do. But at the same time, as he is the guest, they should see what he's comfortable with.
So generally, you more perceive a person like that, even a preacher as a guest, than a leader who's supposed to run the show.
It means as a guest or as a leader who's running the show. But the point is the guest. He is a guest, so he. Means if he's comfortable to just come in and lead how he likes, that's there. But what happens, you know, it's very embarrassing. You just start after the thing, you walk down to Prabhupada's Vyasasan, or you start seeing Jaya Prabhupada, and they say, oh, excuse me, Maharaj, we do this. Very insulting. Because they don't bother telling you, you're just supposed to buy omniscience. No. And so they're so uncultured that the way they do it, you know, they don't, oh, sorry, Maharaj, we just forgot to tell you that. No, they just come up, no, it's this now. So therefore, some just prefer to watch because, you know, it's like Chinese saying. I say, I lend you money, you no pay, I get mad. You want to borrow money, I no give, you get mad. Better you get mad. Right? Because they're the senior, it's their option. It's between them getting upset, you getting upset, it's their right that you get upset. Because you've perceived that this is what they're going to do. But if it comes to the perception, it's what they perceive, that's what should be going on. Otherwise, why are they senior? If they got to do what you say, then that means who's the senior? You understand? So like that, subtle points of etiquette. Okay. Like that, you can always request after, would you like to leave, would you like to do that, and then that's there. But if they're not, because especially, like you said, they just come in, they're tired, they don't want to get involved. You know, if it was up to them, they would have just come in and gone to the room, but you've taken them down there, this and that, and they would rather go to the room. And then they can come later in the evening, then they'll do all those things. Vidura replied in a friendly but guarded manner, recounting all his adventures except the news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. He simply could not bear to see the Pandavas disinterested or distressed at any time. There was a mystery to Vidura's identity. He was actually Yamaraj, having been cursed by Mandavya Muni. This great Maharaj descended to live on earth for 100 years as the son of a Shudra. During Yamaraj's absence, Aryama, one of the 12 Adityas, took over his post so that sinful human beings would continue to be judged and punished after their death. So here, principle is that when your bad news is not to be given, bad news comes of its own. I do realize it's a very popular social method of relationship and interaction that you always come and give the bad news. But in the Vedic, that's not considered a worthwhile relationship, because then you're the bringer of bad news. Bad news will come of its own. Therefore, you know, because everybody likes to talk about bad news, so the cultured people don't, because the uncultured will anyway. They can't help themselves. Right? So you're going to hear about it anyway. So the principle is why. One could say, oh, but they're not telling the quote-unquote truth. But the point is they don't want to see them distressed. Right? The soul is naturally happy. You're working for those happiness. They're happy now. Why distress? At another time, in another place, then it's discussed. But why ruin when things are good? Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, there's a certain sadistic pleasure in somebody's very happy, and then you give them bad news, so they're sad. Of course, if you've had a bad day, maybe you like this principle. But those who are cultured, you see, it's not uncommon. They don't give the bad news, right? Like Arjuna came back also. He didn't tell also that about it. You inquire. If you inquire about it, then you can say. But otherwise, you don't. So he was carefully saying, they ask, how are they doing in Dwarka? And he answered very generally. He didn't lie. He just gave a general. Now, if he asked more specific, then yes, maybe they'll say it. Like that. Does that make sense?
Is it one of the diplomatic principles?
Is it one of the diplomatic principles? It's one of etiquette. Diplomacy, everything you do, you use diplomacy. There's nothing that you do that doesn't use diplomacy. So, but the problem is diplomacy nowadays is used as a bad thing. But political correctness means, political means diplomatic. So you could say another way of political correctness is diplomatic correctness. Right? But if you'd say like that, I guarantee you the whole room of politically correct persons would stand up in indignation. This is the illusion. This is the Maya. Everything. The mother is telling the child, here, take the medicine. The mother's saying, the child, does it taste bad? Mother's, no, no, no. That's diplomacy. But it's for what? For the child's benefit. It's for the child's benefit. Political correctness is for your own benefit. So that's diplomacy. For the other person's benefit, it's not called diplomacy. That's just etiquette. That's niti. So that's the whole thing, the diplomacy, the niti, the etiquette, diplomacy, etiquette, niti, these are all blended. So the etiquette must be there. So this whole thing of just, I say what I say, okay, well that's you being you. But what about considering other people? Because what you do will draw from someone else rasa. Right? You behave badly, then they'll behave badly. But the modern thing is, I can behave badly because you should understand that you should be behaved properly. It's all nonsense. It's all just upside down etiquette. What you should do for others, now you do for yourself. Like that. What do I need? But I never considered myself as a life of selfless service. But if you say, he is a life of selfless service, everyone will go, yes. But it's politically correct. No, but I consider myself. It doesn't make any sense. Because depending upon which will give you profit, right, then you use this side or the other. It's simply business. It's simply monopolitical correctness is simply that of profit. That's all. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. It's artha. It's artha. It's nothing to do with religious principles. It means these higher religious principles. Spirituality. It's something that a tool you use, but everybody should know its place. It also is bona fide, but it's called diplomacy. Right? Does that make sense? That's all. So if it's just, before they just called it diplomacy and it had its place. But now it's given some fancy title and then, put in a way that nobody should know that I'm being diplomatic. But there's nothing wrong with diplomacy if you know how to use it. Like that. That's okay. The purpose of Vidura's return to Hastinapura, even after he had accepted the renounced order of life, was to rectify the mentality of his misguided elder brother, Dhritarashtra. Vidura was treated like a godly person by his relatives. And when he sat down to instruct Dhritarashtra, all the palace residents, including the Pandavas and their mother, gathered around to hear him. Such spiritual discourses are beneficial for all, and are especially welcomed by exalted personalities like Maharaj Yudhishthira, who, although now the indisputable leader, ruler of the surface of the world, was protected from Maya by the humble sincerity of his devotion to Lord Mukunda. But Yudhishthira's blind uncle, Yudhishthira, can make a note there. Yudhishthira's blind uncle Yudhishthira. Something. This is the hidden story you never knew about, that Yudhishthira had a blind uncle called Yudhishthira. Everyone thinks he only had a blind uncle named Dhritarashtra, but this was a... Okay. It was quite different story. Yeah, that's the thing, it's a different story. You heard the main stories, you haven't heard the secret stories. Right? Insurmountable eternal time had imperceptibly overcome Dhritarashtra. Right? But not Yudhishthira's uncle, blind uncle Yudhishthira. He remained doggedly sunk in whatever family affairs remained after the death of his 100 sons on the wharf field of Kurukshetra. Vidura sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as king and sternly warned, "Please get out of here immediately, for fear has already overtaken you. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by anyone in this material world. For it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Kala, who has approached us all. Whoever is under the influence of eternal time must surrender his most dear life. So what to speak of other things, such as wealth, honor, family, home, and property?" Nivesha. In Purport 20, we find this brilliant but sobering observation. Quote, "A great Indian scientist, busy in the plan-making business, was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the Planning Commission. And he had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India and its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property and honor due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of the influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influence of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universes due to the influence of time, and no one could check them by any means." Okay. So here we see he is respected. So that's the Vedic principle. Is something to respect, that is respected. It's not looking at, oh, he's born in the Shudra family. Okay, that's there. By that association, that might bring out something. But if it doesn't, then it doesn't matter. Something respectable is appreciated. Right? So that's there. He's come back for his brother. Because the other members of the family, in other words, there's no one else left in the family, right? Being the, you know, one of the senior members of the family, then, you know, because there's Pandu, Dhritarashtra, and himself, and Bhishma, Drona, Kripa. These are the ones that look after things in the family. The others are all gone, right, except for Kripa. So naturally, then, he would be interested to take care. Yudhishthira is nicely situated, but he's a devotee of the Lord, so everything's perfect. So, externally, everything's nice, and devotionally, everything's nice. He's well situated. Right? But Dhritarashtra's not. Right? He's lost everything, but still he's going on as he's king. Yudhishthira left him, gave him Hastinapur to be king of. So the capital, he's king of the capital. But the rest of the empire, then that is Yudhishthira. Does that make sense? Just like each king has his little regions. So just here he happens to give him the capital to run. Normally it would be somewhere else, but because he's a family member. So he's come to show that time has come and has taken everything away. So now you should surrender to the Lord. Because only by the Lord, then one is not fearful. Right? This is an important principle, this fearlessness. Fearlessness means you're surrendered to the Lord. If you are fearful, that means the Lord's not involved in that particular aspect of your life. If you're fearful about something, it's because the Lord's not involved. Right? Does that make sense? But when the Lord is involved, you're not fearful, you're fearless. So because of that, then after, by the preaching of Vidura, then we see he becomes fearless. And then he goes, he's blind, he goes to the jungle. You got to be fearless. Right? People who can see are fearful of going to the forest. Then he goes, he's blind. And he's going with who? His wife? And she's got her eyes tied also. It's not Hari Bala. You know, so it's like, you understand? Now Vidura goes along with him, but that takes trust. Right? He's the younger brother. Dhritarashtra is the oldest, so that's trust. Right? So everything's relationship. Relation with the devotees, relationship with the Lord. That's what the Bhagavatam is establishing, relationship. Right? Yeah? Okay, and then Prabhupada gives this point. Is that by time, many people, they have plans, so much is happening in their life, but it's all lost because of time. Time just comes, the time's up, that's it. No, but a little bit more. No, it's not there. It's gone. And so then you have to surrender everything. So the idea is that rather than being forced to surrender, you should voluntarily give it up. You get benefit. It's just like this. You have money. Okay? Now let us say by astrology, it says you're going to lose this money. Right? This is going to happen, you're going to lose all your wealth. Okay, now if you lose all your wealth, do you have any benefit? No. Now if you know you're going to lose all your wealth, and you voluntarily give it away in charity, do you get any benefit from it? That's the point. You know you're going to die, you know you're going to lose family, wealth, position, everything. So if you voluntarily give it up, you get the benefit. And if it's taken away from you, then you're born again to, yeah, go through it again. Does that make sense? So that's the principle. Okay. Now his instructions. My dear brother,